In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The story in the gospel this morning is an interesting one of a couple of individuals who are blind. They are in the midst of circumstances, and they don't see them as they actually are. It's really the time in history, the turning point. You know, the most important event has just happened. The most hopeful event has just happened. The most significant event has just happened. And yet they're kind of stressed, anxiety, feeling defeated, not sure what's going on. They don't see at all the circumstances in which they find themselves. And in the middle of that, Jesus, of course, comes up to them on the road. And this is a very ironic part because they don't know who it is. And there's this line, oh, all these things have been going on. Don't you know about it? And he says, what things? And I wonder if Jesus had a hard time keeping a straight face during this. We would, right? Because here they are telling him about all these things that happened. He's kind of might want to say, I was there. I know. But they... it's interesting, he starts with a rebuke, and he says, how foolish you guys are, and how slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have told you. And many people would be pretty offended at being spoken to in this way, but they receive it, and they're like, okay, tell us what you have to say. And we hear in the text it's about 7 miles, so I don't know, a couple of hours of a walk to get to Emmaus, and Jesus, we read there, unpacks for them everything that was said in the scripture about him, which would be amazing if we had that to listen into. But they're receptive, they listen, and the story, as we see how it unfolds, they don't end in the same place they began. They have their eyes opened, and they finally see not only who this is who's speaking with them, but they see it all. The whole thing unfolds about what this really means and what has just happened, and they're so full of excitement that they actually don't even stay there. They turn around and they head all the way back into Jerusalem, walking in the dark, I suppose, to talk to the other disciples and say, you'll never believe what's happened. So we see a really important principle here about how God often works with us, that there are spiritual truths that we are blind to. And the only way that we are going to have our eyes opened, and notice that in the text, they don't open their own eyes, their eyes are opened, is when we let God speak to us, and we let God work in us, and we invite him to do that work to open our eyes. And then we come to a place of new understanding and often new freedom. And this pattern plays out in our own lives, too, still today. That in the midst of our walk, in the midst of our journey, that Jesus comes alongside of us. And sometimes, like them, it is in the midst of confusion, heartache, defeat, anxiety. Other times, it's in the midst of life seems to be going pretty well. But Jesus comes alongside, and the first thing that he often does with us is to bring an awareness of our need. Because this is where it has to start. We have to know that we have a need. And what he says to them is, you know, you're blind. You've been foolish. You don't really understand what's going on, and your heart has been slow. And again, it's interesting that they're receptive to that. And one of the challenges for us is right here in the beginning is, are we teachable? Are we teachable? Are we able to receive this word from God? You're blind. You're missing some things. There's some things you need to learn, some things that you need to hear. Are we teachable? Are we willing to admit that there's things that we don't see? And then as Jesus starts to speak to them, we hear this description of it later, which is quite interesting. He says, they say, were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us along the road? And that's an interesting choice of words because they don't say, man, our minds were really going 100 miles an hour. Of course, there was something going on in their mind and they were understanding things that they didn't see. But the hallmark of God speaking to us in our life often is that it comes here, that there's a burning in the heart. And God's trying to get our attention. And maybe you've experienced something like that, that sensation of God getting a hold right here. When I think of my own life, when I was a youngish man, 22-ish, I had this experience. And I had, up to that point in my life, kept God very much at arm's length and at a distance. And so you could say I was not at a point where I was willing to say, I have some blindness, I have some need. Everything was fine. And into a season of life that actually was very good. So it wasn't that some tragedy struck and then I kind of, whoa, life was fine. And yet I had a sense that something was missing. And I remember very clearly this day when I went into a church, sat down, I was the only one in there, and said to God something like, okay, I hear what you're doing because I've been hearing this. I said, I'm willing to hear what you want to say. Just willing. And it took some time after that. For the next few months, God began to really speak to my heart. And I finally had my eyes opened, and I saw. And when I look back at before that, I said, what on earth? How was I so blind to the reality of life and the reality of what God was calling me into? But the fact was, I was. But he opened my eyes, and I saw it, and I was able to take hold of it, and my life has been utterly transformed from that day to now. So God opened my eyes, and he brought me into places of wholeness, and places of health, and places of life, and of joy. And of course, this isn't just a one-time thing, it's ongoing. I've often had to say, okay, God, you're saying something here, let me listen. And he's spoken to my heart. Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning. And, you know, probably when I say that, there might be something that goes whoop and jumps right up to the top of your mind. Because I find that when God wants to speak to us, anytime we get quiet, anytime someone mentions God, there that thing comes. And if you're like me, many times I say, oh, and I shove it back down. I say, not that thing. God will talk about anything else you like, but not that. And yet it's God's gentle call to us that he brings this to our mind again and again and again. He says, I want to talk to you about this. And here's the thing that makes all the difference for us. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond to that when we hear God knocking, when we hear God calling, when we hear God speaking to us? There was a friend of Rachel and I's. This was way back when I was in graduate school. And this man was, I think he was an atheist, actually. And Rachel and I got together a group of people in the summer to read, if I remember, C.S. Lewis. So I invited some of my classmates, invited this guy who was a professor, and to read C.S. Lewis. And as we met each week, we started to see something interesting in him. It's like he came in this way to the group, but then the arms started to kind of relax a little bit, and then he was asking questions, and you could see that, okay, God was speaking to him. There was something that was going on here in the heart. He was interested. He was asking real questions, not defensive questions. And then in the middle of that, he came back one week and he was like this again. And it's funny, the posture is, you could see it. You could feel it. It was physiological. Something in him had said that week, I don't know why, he had said, you know what? No. He said to God, I see what you're trying to do here, but I'm not going to have anything of it. And he shut God out. And we knew him maybe for another year after that, and that's how he remained. Closed off. He hardened. And Scripture uses that imagery, that language, the hardening of the heart. You remember in the story of Pharaoh, and Moses appeals to him again and again, and it says, well, sometimes he'd kind of be open, but then what would he do? He'd harden the heart. He'd say, no, I'm not going to listen. The Pharisees are our best example of this. That these were the people who in the time of Jesus, and there he is, God himself speaking, with a voice of truth, and they hardened their hearts. And these were people who took pride in being righteous, took pride in being the ones who knew all about God, took pride in being the ones who were close to God, and guess what? These were the ones who killed God. And I think that is such a warning and a lesson to us, that if we take pride in, like, I've got it all figured out, I'm not blind, I don't have need. That's what the Pharisees said. Why do we do that? I mean, this is a real question. Why do we harden the heart? And there's probably various reasons, but I think some of the big ones, pride. I mean, hardening the heart protects us from having to say that we're wrong and that we have need. And I think of a story that C.S. Lewis tells. He says, think of this, it's like children, we've all seen this, that you can have maybe a birthday party, something really fun, and a kid has done something wrong before the party, you know, hit the sister or whatever, not done his chores. And what do we say to them? You need to apologize to your sister, and then you can come to the party. And Lewis says, haven't we all seen those cases where the kid just says this? No. I would rather sit in my room and miss out on all that fun the other kids are having because I am not willing to admit that I've done wrong and to ask for forgiveness. It's humbling. And our pride ensnares us and gets in the way of responding to God. Pride is deadly. It's deadly. We also have fear. Many times I've heard someone say, yes, but if I open myself up to God, he's going to send me to Africa. How many of you thought that? I don't know what it is about Africa, poor Africa, but people say this. So the general idea is, if I'm going to open myself to God, what's he going to do? What's he going to ask of me? I don't have control over that. What if it's this? What if it's that? And I think the antidote to fear for us is understanding who God is, that he is a good father. And Jesus says, he uses this imagery. He says, you know, you guys are, he's talking to the crowd, a lot of you are fathers. Your kid comes to you and asks for bread. Do you give him a scorpion? Or if your child comes and says, hey, I'd like an egg, do you give him a snake? No. Even though you guys are just ordinary human beings, you understand what it is to give good gifts to your kids. How much more does your Father in heaven know to give good gifts to those who will ask? So this is so important, that there's a lie here in our head that says, God is not out for our good, and if we submit to him, who knows where he's going to take us. And the truth is that God wants your good, and as we submit to us, as we submit to him, he's going to give it to you. And then finally, there is sometimes the grip of sin in our lives. I think about the example of Augustine, who famously said to God, Lord, make me, or give me chastity, but not yet. It was an honest prayer, and he realized in his heart he was not yet willing to submit to what God was calling him to. It was his precious. You guys have seen The Lord of the Rings, right? He wasn't going to let go of it. Now, later in the story, he does. He does. He says, okay, fine, even that, take it all. But here's the thing again, we get stuck there, and we believe it's a trick, that this thing that God is saying, I don't want that as a part of your life. We say, I don't know what life would be like without it. It's a lie. Here's what your life would be like without it, better. We hold on to it, and we cling to it, and because of it, we push God off to one side. There's a psalm that we read sometimes, Psalm 95, and in there the psalmist says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. And I think we need to hear that word over and over again. Do not harden your heart. So what happens then when we do the opposite? When we open our heart, when we say, okay, God, I hear that you're speaking to me. What is it? What do you want to say? Here again, a psalmist. This is David. He writes this. Lord, you make known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And Jesus says, here's what's going to happen. You're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Life, freedom, eternal pleasures at the right hand of God. Do you want that? Does that sound good? You know, God says, this is what I'm offering. And on the other hand, what's the other path? And we hold God at a distance and we harden our heart. What do we get there? We're the opposite of those. Death. Bondage. We're trapped. I want to encourage you this morning. We have communion coming. As you go forward, you know, we're used to, we come up with a physical posture of receptivity because we put out our hands and Father John puts the bread there. I want you to have an internal posture of receptivity. If God has been speaking to you this morning, I want you to say to him, okay, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to listen. I would encourage you not to harden your heart, but to come to God and say, open my eyes. Because just like we see in the story on the road to Emmaus, there are lots of things we're never going to see if God does not show them to us. And as long as we're independent, as long as we're prideful, as long as we're closed, we're never going to get there. So I'd encourage you to bring that before God this morning. It's like, God, speak. And I can guarantee this. Remember what I showed to the kids. When God speaks to us, it is something that is good. It's because he wants to bring health into your life. It's because he wants to bring freedom into your life. It's because he wants to bring love into your life. So we don't have to be afraid of it, but we can receive it. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are ready and willing to bring us life, to bring us health, to bring us freedom. And we pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts and that you would make them open to you so that we might invite you, that you might open our eyes, and that in you we may find life. Amen.